Hello guys, Eugene Allen here, Blackspin Global. Hope you're doing well. This is a day 10 recap of Wimbledon, let's call it the quarterfinal wrap-up show. So yeah, we now know who our semi-finalists are going to be in both the men's and women's draws. We do have a semi-finalist to champion or shout about in Coco Gauff, which is where we're going to start. So this year's seventh seed is through to her first Wimbledon semi-final after beating the fourth seed, Jessica Pegula, in three sets, 4-6, 6-3, 6-3, which has kind of been the theme of Gauff's Wimbledon this year. So she's won all but one of her matches in three sets. I believe her first round match was a straight sets win. But yeah, since then, she's basically closed out all her matches in three sets, basically coming up clutch in the third, which has been the theme of her young career so far, in terms of just her ability to win or turn it on, when she really needs to. Pull out wins, sometimes from out of nowhere. She's winning matches she has no right to win, but she finds a way, which is kind of the case in, I think the Pegula match, the momentum did swing because, she lost the first set 6-4, but it was a tight first set. There were a lot of unforced errors, but I do feel Gauff was, she was in the match. It wasn't basically out of her control. She quickly kind of regrouped in the second set, taking it 6-3, and then in the third was much more comfortable, I thought. Taking it by the same scoreline. Coming into that match though, she did have, or the head-to-head was skewed in Pegula's favour. I believe it was 5-3 in Pegula's favour. Their last meeting, they met twice last year, towards the end of last year even, and Pegula did win the last match they played. I believe it was in Beijing. No, the WTA Finals, sorry. Gauff did beat her in Beijing en route to winning that title. So the matches have always kind of been even, although, Pegula did have that 5-3 head-to-head coming in, but now it's 5-4. Don't really think you can read too much into head-to-heads, to be completely honest, but I do feel it is maybe nice for the player that does have a lead, or, if the head-to-head is heavily skewed in their favour, that is going to be a nice feeling, obviously. I feel like with Gauff, just her mental ability is just, I'll never get bored of just kind of talking about that, in terms of it's special. And that is kind of what sets her apart from the other girls on tour. And it's almost like a superpower, let's just be real. For players that, they are kind of intimidated by the fact that, this girl can basically turn it on even when she's not necessarily playing her best tennis. She can find a way. And she's kind of done that a lot, in her young career so far. So, I feel like this, I've always kind of said it as well. I can see Gauff being a Wimbledon champion at some point in her career. Did I think it was going to be this soon? Probably not, but at the same time, why not? This is going to be the 10th year in a row that we've had 10 different winners. So it just shows, I quite like that, in terms of having a variation of winners, because I feel like it's good for the players, because they come into the tournament kind of feeling that they have a chance of winning, because there's been, no one's ever kind of, for a while anyway, no one's gone back-to-back at Wimbledon. I think Serena was the last player to do so. I quite like the idea of players coming into an event feeling that they can win, because I feel like that's good for the competition. Some may differ, and that's fine, that's an opinion. But yeah, that's how I feel. So yeah, Gauff is now the youngest player since 2007 to reach the semi-finals of all four Grand Slams. I believe Maria Sharapova was the last player to do that. And yeah, Gauff is 22 years old. I mean, that for me is just testament to how good she is, and how good she's going to continue to be already a two-time Grand Slam champion. And yeah, just imagine if she does make it three Grand Slams. And like I said earlier, I feel like Wimbledon is in kind of, it's there for her at some point in her career. Didn't think it would be this soon, but at the same time, I'm not that surprised. And the player she'll face is Karolina Muchová, the 10th seed from the Czech Republic in that semi-final. Going back to the head-to-head is heavily skewed in Goff's favour in this one. I believe it's 6-1 to Goff, although this would be the first time they've played on grass. And we all kind of, I say we all know, Muchová's game on grass is so well suited. Like, she played an amazing match against Osaka, which we'll talk about in a sec, but I like the matchup for Goff in this one. I do feel like there's going to be a lot of kind of back and forth rallies from the baseline, but we do know Muchová likes to come into the net and she's very good with her hands. Goff too could volley as well, so I feel like she's going to have a good kind of serve volley day. And yeah, maybe give Muchová like a bit of her own medicine, like, you know, mix things up. Don't just stay at the back of the court, like pounding forehands and backhands from the baseline, like come into the net, and she's more than capable of finishing points at the net. So I am looking forward to this one. I'm going to call Goff to win three sets because it's been her theme of this year's Wimbledon. And yeah, she's going to make it. I feel she'll make it to the final. And we all know in finals, it's a 50-50 kind of, you know, flip as to who wins. But I fancy Goff. Goff is the highest ranked player left in the draw. So yeah, I feel like the omens are on her side. And yeah, let's see if she can do it. So yeah, impress after Goff, obviously in, you know, a good mood. She was asked about her Wimbledon form coming in, and she gave a nice answer because she spoke about basically kind of not having that many expectations. And yeah, I'll just play you what she said.
I don't know what's more satisfying, honestly. I think maybe when they're low and you exceed them, because I am still so early in my career that even though I may not come into a tournament and win it, even though that's like my goal, but I feel like it's a stepping stone to maybe getting closer to that goal of winning. And that's what I feel here at this tournament. And I felt like at Roland Garros this year, I had way too high expectations and way too much pressure on myself because I did feel like I was playing good tennis and it just didn't show that tournament. I think I kind of mentally blocked myself. So maybe I should go into it like I'm approaching here because those seem to be the tournaments I do better at.
So yeah, the breakthrough, or her, yeah, she kind of announced herself to the world in 2019 at Wimbledon as a 15-year-old. So now to kind of have this moment at 22 years old, it does kind of feel like full circle almost. And that, like, I feel like she didn't admit it, but I feel like, yeah, there is kind of like a destiny type feel about this run. So again, let's see what she does in that semi-final against Muchová later on today. So yeah, moving on to Naomi Osaka, who Muchová beat 7-6, 6-4. Osaka actually didn't play a bad match. She did, coming into it, she did win all of her matches in straight sets, including that epic against world number one Aryna Sabalenka in the fourth round, which felt like a statement like victory for Osaka. And one, no doubt, that she's going to take a lot of confidence away from. And just this run in general at Wimbledon, like she'd never reached the quarterfinals before at Wimbledon. And I feel like she's probably shown herself and a lot of people that she has the game to play on grass. We all know she's an amazing hardcore player, four-time Grand Slam champion, obviously two times at the Australian Open, twice at the US Open. But yeah, now seeing her like kind of adapt and bring that kind of game to the grass courts, like, was very exciting. So yeah, she not only kind of shocked the world like with her walk-on fits, which I really enjoyed, and I think a lot of people did as well. But yeah, the tennis was fantastic. I think I tweeted something earlier about it being breathless at times, which it really was. And yeah, just that match with Mukova. She didn't, like I said, she didn't play a bad match, but Mukova is, she just has more in terms of that there's more to her game, and that there's an ability that she has in terms of on the grass courts anyway, to kind of mix things up. And it did, it caused the Saka problems. But again, a lot of positives to take away for Osaka this year's Wimbledon. There was obviously that performance against Sabalenka, 6-2, 7-6. It was kind of the treatment that Sabalenka gave her at the French Open in the previous slam. So, like, Osaka got her lick back, as you could say, which was, yeah, very, very good for her. And I feel like, again, the confidence is only going to keep improving, because yeah, she's a champion, and she kind of showed that mentality throughout her matches at this year's Wimbledon. Yes, disappointing to lose in the quarterfinals, but at the same time, a massive achievement considering, yeah, I think her best result prior to this year was, I believe, a third round at Wimbledon. So yeah, she's shown that she can play on grass, and I'm looking forward to seeing her, obviously next year on the grass courts, but throughout the rest of this year, I feel like she has a title. There's a title with her name on it. And yeah, do not be surprised if it's one of the 1,000 events before the US Open. Obviously, she reached the US Open semifinals last year. So, I mean, I think she's in a good place to kind of, or she's well placed even, to go deep again in New York. And yeah, like, again, she wasn't too kind of, obviously she was disappointed in press, but I felt like she was quite upbeat because she realizes coming in, like, there was, I say, no form. Obviously she reached the Bad Homburg final, where she did lose to, or say lose, she retired in that final against Mukova, but the form was there on grass, and that hasn't been the case for her in previous years. So I feel like overall, a solid grass court campaign for Osaka. Staying with the women, so day 10, which is when I'm recording, Jasmine Paolini, the 2024 runner-up, she lost to Marta Kostyuk of Ukraine, 6-3, 6-2 on centre court. It was a hot day today. But Kostyuk, she's the 12th seed, one of the most informed players at the moment. Obviously, the French Open finalist, or runner-up, I should say. And yeah, just absolutely loving life at the moment. And it kind of showed, like, she was just oozing the confidence. The way she was moving around the court, like, between points. The way she was playing points as well, like, This was kind of my first time seeing Kostyuk, like, up close. And yeah, I was very impressed with, like, her game style. And for her, again, to translate the clay court form over to the grass, I feel like that's very impressive. Obviously, Paolini did that in 2024. Can Kostyuk do that in 2026? We'll see. But yeah, just on Paolini, again, coming into Wimbledon, I think she basically lost, her form wasn't great. She struggled to kind of put wins together. I think she hadn't had more than two wins at events basically throughout the year. So this was the first event where she basically strung more than two wins together, which, again, I put to her in press. I said, basically, you know, this not being the result you would have wanted today, but can you take confidence away from the fact that, you know, you reached the quarterfinals? And yeah, this is what she said.
Yes. Now it's tough to see the positive part, you know, but still was a great tournament. I played five matches, which is great, because this year I played few matches, just five matches. Maybe I need, like, I don't know, four tournaments to play five matches. So I'm happy with my level. At the same time, I know that I need to play more weeks like I did in this tournament, because I think, you know, also to have matches help you in those kind of situation when you are more tired, you are more stressed. So the goal, I think, it's to try to play more matches in this second half of 2026, to have this mood on court that I have on this tournament, and yeah, hopefully I can take the positive things for the rest of the season.
So yeah, there was obviously she's known for like having the smile on her face and, you know, bringing joy to the court. I mean, it wasn't the vibe in the press conference, but she was happy in terms of, you know, her achievement of reaching the last eight for a second time at Wimbledon. And yeah, the fact that she came with no form at all to string some matches ago, I think she said, which I laughed about, it would take her this year anyway, three or four tournaments to win three or four matches. So to do that in one event, like, that is something she can take away and hopefully build on for the rest of 2026. So yeah, big shout out to Jasmine Paolini. On the men's side, wow. Felix Auger-Aliassime, the third seed, was involved in the longest quarterfinal, or men's quarterfinal. I say longest quarterfinal in Wimbledon history. 5 hours, 15 minutes against Novak Djokovic, the seven-time champion, who's chasing his 25th Grand Slam, would you believe, at 39 years old, or 39 years of age, I should say. What an effort from Felix. I think he's getting a lot of kind of praise and like adulation, as he should, because again, it was a massive, massive effort to take Novak to five in the manner he did. It was a 10-point tiebreak in the end that decided it, which I felt was quite fitting in the fifth set. And yeah, just for me, Felix, he was in the match from start to finish. Like, I thought the first set, which Djokovic did take in on the tiebreak, if Felix won that first set, we would be looking at a different situation, because yeah, I feel like momentum is such a big thing in tennis, and like even in men's tennis where it's best of five, like winning the first set, it does set a good precedent in terms of confidence going forward. And like I said, it was a tiebreak, so that just shows how close it was. Felix as well, serving so well this year. Like, there's kind of one of the biggest kind of factors of his game is his serve. And I feel like when he's serving like well, it's very, very difficult to beat. But then when you're facing one of the best returners of all time, like, of course your serve needs to be on point and it needs to be consistent. And it was, but Novak is Novak, so there's levels to this, as they say. Like, so, but yeah, just with Felix, I feel he's kind of demonstrated that the ranking of number four is career high. Like, that is not a fluke. And I've seen or heard people say, "Oh, it's not the same in terms of the big three aren't around." So there's like a lot of kind of chopping and changing at the top. Obviously, you've got Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz being one and two, but then below that, it's like a free-for-all. I completely disagree. I feel like Felix, this year at Wimbledon, and kind of he's kind of shown it for the past, I say, since that US Open won last year, he made the semifinals of the US Open last year. He's here now in terms of being one of the top guys, and he's a contender for these big events, yet to make a Grand Slam final. But I feel, again, it's only a matter of time, and obviously this is going to hurt because this was a big opportunity. Obviously, he would have played Jannik Sinner in the semi-finals. There's no guarantees of beating Sinner in the semi-final, but the way Felix is playing right now, I'm a big fan of the guy's game. Like, and I was just happy to see him kind of, I say, live up to expectation. There was a level that he showed throughout this Wimbledon, but in that match against Novak, yes, it was like a tough loss, but you can feel the fact that he also, he felt like he was in it, which is kind of what he said in press. And I'll play you what he said right here.
Oh, to be honest, I had a lot of belief until the end. I was trying to serve well, trying to not go for too much, trying to play the smartest shot at every moment. But obviously, sometimes you have to, one of the players is going to have to risk at some point a little bit more in certain points. But he didn't pay off for me. But you know that, I can't remember, I had left 30 on one of his return. On one return game, you know, I pulled it back in down the line. You know, if I make this one, better target, maybe love 40, you know. So it's, that was a little bit momentum. Do I regret maybe not just staying in the point? Maybe, but those are choices you make on the court and you have to live with.
So yeah, shout out to Samadi Kawi or The Guardian for asking that question. But yeah, that was basically Felix saying that he had, throughout the whole match, there was belief that he could win. And like I said, you can feel that was the case, even in that 10-point tiebreak. I think Novak kind of, we almost kind of ran away with it in the end, but there was, at no point did I ever feel that Felix was kind of counting himself out. Like, and again, I as a fan, like that for me, it kind of gave me comfort because I was like, yes, there's this... this guy believes, and this is what I'm saying. It only takes, obviously it's skill and talent, but there's also a bit of luck that's involved at these events. So, but you have to basically put yourself in position. Felix has done that. And yeah, to reach a quarterfinal at a Grand Slam and to lose to a player like Novak Djokovic, like that is not something to kind of be ashamed about or, yeah, be too kind of despondent or disheartened by. And yeah, I feel like, again, Novak, he also said it was one of the best matches he's ever played on centre court in his whole career. And this is a guy who's won the event 7 times. So I feel like that's kind of high praise as well. And yeah, just overall for Felix, like, there's a lot to kind of take away from this Wimbledon going into the rest of the year. I feel like for his career, this could be not a defining moment, but almost like a defining moment because he's shown that he can compete basically. And yeah, I mean, it's been a successful Wimbledon, even though he did lose in the quarterfinal. So yeah, guys, that's my little wrap-up of the quarters. So yeah, now we know our semi-finals lineup. On the men's side, it's Jannik Sinner, the top seed, taking on Novak Djokovic, which is going to be... we'll see how that's going to kind of play out. Obviously, Djokovic is just coming off the back of a 5-hour match, although he has had, you know, a couple of days to recover, which is good for him. And then, yeah, the other semi-final, Alexander Zverev, the second seed, taking on the British wildcard, Artur Ferry. Go on, Ferry, it's coming home. So, yeah, kind of familiar names in that semi-final, apart from Ferry, but what a story that is for Ferry, a former Stanford University student. And, yeah, doing, kind of having a fairy tale run at Wimbledon, which is kind of where he also lives, which is a nice touch. And then on the women's side, it's Coco Gauff, Caroline Muchova, which we've spoken about, and then Marta Kostyuk, Linda Noskova. So, yeah, guys, Gauff is the highest seed left in the women's draw, number 7. But yeah, Muchova will be a tough task for sure. But we'll see how that plays out. And then Kostyuk, Noskova. Kostyuk the 12th seed, Noskova the 9th seed. So, very, very close matchups there. And yeah, all of the women players, they're all seeded. Ferry kind of being the outlier and the men's draw being the wild card. So an exciting kind of lineup in the final fours of both draws. And yeah, guys, we'll look forward to seeing who reaches the final. I'm going to go Coco. I'm going to go Coco Kostiuk for the final. And yeah, we will see if I'm right in the next episode. Take care, guys.